as property investors, we are problem solvers, and that's who we need to be. We need to solve problems, and there is wealth created in solution. There's wealth created in the solving the problem, and you kind of need to welcome problems.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with property mentor Brendan Kelly, who will discuss the personal habits that allow him to successfully manage his business and his ever-expanding portfolio. Discover the solution to create your own wealth and listen in. Despite the time and hard work that his first property caused Kelly, he still remembers it as a fun time in his life.
I had more arrogance than sense at that time. So I was living out of a perspective that I was 9 foot tall and bulletproof and just did stuff. So we had a ball, had a blast. I've got a photo of my time in that house with my wife, and I took a photo of what was to be our lounge room, which was the shop front, the counter area. And in the photo is my wife in a dressing gown in a fold-out strap chair, you know, the chairs, outdoor chairs.
Yeah,
so fold-out outdoor chair, yep. In a dressing gown, bowl of cereal, slippers on, and next to her is 10 pieces of 90 by 45 stud work, circular saws, chisels, hammers, jackhammer. It is just mess all around. She's got a big beaming smile on her face. It's wonderful.
It was Kelly's ability to commit himself entirely to his project that led to success. Without the commitment of children, Kelly was able to commit himself entirely to his renovations.
Circular saws and little wee toddlers just don't play well together.
Despite the small size of Kelly's first property, his renovations made the place seem vast.
Felt like the TARDIS.
Okay.
The outside looked really small, but when you went in, you go, oh, this is really spacious.
His willingness to take on this peculiar project and transform a commercial property into a residential one gave him a significant edge in a competitive market.
So we bought a shell, and at the time, nobody wanted a milk bar that wasn't being serviced or relatively shut down, and a shell of a property. Nobody wanted it. The beauty of our being able to get it at that price was the fact that people who walked into it couldn't see a house. They couldn't. The average owner occupier couldn't turn around and go, "Oh, where do I put my couch? And what am I going to do with this lump of concrete on the floor? And this kitchen's just oily and greasy all over. And this just is a horrible place." And they just wouldn't buy it. So there was a bit of struggle in selling it. But we had vision and, like I said, arrogance and a perspective that we could do anything.
But it's Kelly's willingness to utilize this diversity to consider the advantages in a situation that would be typically deemed too difficult that led to his success. This mentality is key to his perspective on investing, a mindset that he says is based on knowledge.
One of lateral thinking. One of you can. There is always a solution, and you just got to figure out what that solution is. A very distinctive can-do, will-do attitude. Anything you take on with respect to making money has got roadblocks all the way through it. And it is the desire for the prize. It is the desire for the win, for what you want. That will help you drive through those problems. It's like, it's the conversation around why are you doing it? I've often spoken about the idea of if your why is big enough, mountains become molehills, molehills become pebbles. If your why is not big enough, if the reason for you to do this activity, to take this on, then your pebbles become molehills and your molehills become mountains and you just give up. It just gets too hard. As property investors, we are problem solvers, and that's who we need to be. We need to solve problems, and there is wealth created in solution. There's wealth created in the solving of problems, and you kind of need to welcome problems because having a lot of problems around allows you to solve them, therefore allows you to make the money you want. Without a lot of problems, if you want a smooth, easy path, then really you're left with more of the same. And my experience of more of the same is it's just not going to get you what you want. So if from the perspective of I need to welcome problems, I actually like problems. I like being able to brainstorm solutions and implement solutions and actually solve a problem, because my belief is that nearly all problems are solvable. Well, in fact, all problems are solvable. It's just sometimes you won't like the outcome. But all problems are solvable. You do get to move on. If you adopt that and take on anything that comes your way from the perspective of greatest problem, let's solve it, then nothing is going to get in your way that you can't solve. Does that make sense? So therefore, any mountain that appears in front of you is actually not a mountain at all. It's just a bigger problem to solve, and there is a solution. You've just got to figure out how.
This breakdown of large challenges is something that can be applied to everyday circumstances. And Kelly attributes this persistence to success in managing not only his portfolio and investments, but his life as a whole.
Well, you do get to a point of overwhelm if you bury yourself in the vastness of the size of the problem. If you do break it down into bite-sized pieces, like you, it's commonly said, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. So you just take on the problem one bite at a time. But if you get to a point where the problem seems overwhelming and you just can't see through it, and then that's the moment where you just go, you know what, you either grab blankie and go and curl up into the fetal position and rock backwards and forwards and hope it goes away, or you step up and you go, no, there is a solution. I just need to keep pushing. I just need to keep working on it. And if you do step up, then the problems wither away, generally speaking. And the ability to break large problems into smaller bite-sized pieces is a form of overpowering in your own mind the size of the problem. Most of the time, the problems are not as big as they seem. I mean, as an example, I don't feel well. I don't feel well. I don't feel well. I have to call a doctor. I don't want to call a doctor because I don't want to figure out what I've actually got. I'm worried about what I've actually might have. I don't feel well. I won't call a doctor. And then you just, then lifting up the phone and dialing the number to make an appointment for a doctor is really tough, because you've filled yourself with fear about what's possible as an outcome. Whereas if you go, I don't feel well, call the doctor, go and see him. Yep, sure, a couple of tablets, I'm fine. It's not a problem. So it's the process of how you manage something presented to you as a form of resistance, how you manage that determines your success. So as with property investing, if you're presented with an issue, you just simply step up and keep going at it. I mean, persistent being the key. You step up and keep going at it, you'll solve it and walk it through. But if the longer you put it off, and the more you think about it while putting it off, the more you dramatize the possible outcomes potentially, the harder it is to walk through the problem, and you walk into a sense of overwhelm.
Kelly is careful to note that an arrogant sense of enthusiasm can be detrimental, and it's a lesson that Kelly learned after his own losses.
At the time when I'd had to hand over that deposit and lose that money, that was a source of confidence blow. So when your confidence is low, when it's been shattered or eroded in some way, shape or form by some event or circumstance or outcome from some decision, then yes, there is a greater sense of fear in taking on the next move, getting back on the bike and having another crack at it. So care is required in any property investing decision. Arrogance is not. The ability to pull the trigger is critical. And arrogance provides that, but that's blind. Blind arrogance itself is a recipe for disaster. So care. Now, the thing that addresses fear is knowledge. The thing that kills fear is knowledge. So the more you know, the greater your chance of confident outcome. The more you know, the more certainty you have in the decision you're making. If you knew the outcome of every decision you were going to make, then you'd make those decisions with absolute confidence. And you'd make those, or you'd elect not to follow through on that decision because you knew that something wasn't going to work great. Well, if that said, the more you know, the less an emotional fear gets to play on your mind. So skill up, learn, take on what you know, learn about the deal, learn about the numbers, learn about how to make money from it, learn about how to make money from a buy and hold, learn about how to make money from a reno, learn about how to make money from a development, but learn where the money's coming from and ensure that you have all the boxes ticked for yes, I will or no, I won't. Will I make money? How am I going to make money? And if it doesn't work in plan A, what's plan B? And create contingencies. There are 8 questions that you could ask yourself before going into any deal. One is, how much money down? So how much money am I putting into it? How much money am I going to get back? Well, in order to answer that question, you need to know a little bit about the numbers of the deal and the strategy and the time frame. What's the risk? The risks are, now if you think about a buy and hold for property, for example, what is the risk in a buy and hold property? Well, if you buy a $400,000 property and it goes down in value, let's say it goes down by 5%, it goes down in value, are you going to lose $400,000? Are you putting $400,000 at risk? Well, the answer is no, you're not. You're only putting at risk the component by which the price will devalue. Do you have any control over preserving that? Well, yes, you do. If you put it back onto the market and renovate it beforehand, let's say, you might in fact be able to walk away with what you walked in with, even though the price has come down across the board. So there's plan A and plan B, and you've got to figure out what exactly is at risk. And next question now that is, am I happy with that risk? What's my worst case scenario, and am I happy with that? So your worst case scenario might be, you know what, I've got 20 grand on the table really out of this. The worst case scenario is I'm going to lose 5%, 20,000 bucks. Am I happy to lose 20,000 bucks on the chance that I might make 120? Well, actually, those odds aren't too bad. I think I'll give it a crack. But again, what's my worst case scenario and am I happy with that? How much time am I going to be in this deal? How much time is it before I get my money back? How much time is it I'm going to be contributing my cash and not have access to it for other opportunities? So it's down, back, time, risk. What's my worst case scenario and am I happy with it? How does this serve my goals? How does this serve the outcome that I want in my life? Is this deal going to get me closer or is it just a deal to do or is it actually going to hinder me? If I want $1.25 million, let's say, in cash to invest at 8% so I get my $100,000 of passive income, is buying a positive cash flow property that's never going to go up be the answer? Well, it might not be. Positive cash flow deals do yield an outcome, but if I spend all of my money up front on a buy and hold property with little growth prospects and nominal positive cash flow, great, it gets to service itself. Great, I'm not out of pocket for holding it, and I might line my pocket with 50 bucks a week, but if it's tied up all my money, then I'm never going to make $1.25 million in cash to invest at 8% for my passive income. So while it makes money, nominally, it's not going to serve the goal that I want to achieve. So we need to pick strategic approaches that work for our outcome.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear about Kelly's key entry strategy.
Go into an area where you do some research and you think there's going to be some growth. So it's an area in transition.
He shares with us how he overcame the difficulties of consolidating his broad potential into one effective stream.
And they said, you can do anything you want. And that didn't help me at all.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Sharp, and you're listening to Property Investory. Are you looking at buying property? Unsure which suburb to choose? Let me share with you an amazing tool. It's called Location Score, and it's the simplest way to decide where to buy profitable property all over Australia. Created by property experts Ben Kingsley, Bryce Holloway, and Jeremy Shepherd. You can check it out at propertyinvestory.com/location score. Also, when you buy through my affiliate link, I'll give you 1 month access to the Property Investory Club, where you can learn from the experts and be part of a private property investing community valued at $99. Visit propertyinvestory.com/location score to claim your special offer. For Kelly, his key entry strategy is the buy, live in, add value, sell approach, something that worked for him.
I have always been a fan of the buy, live in, add value, sell approach. So if you're starting out and basically you have no kids yet, you've maybe got a partner, great way to build equity rapidly. Go into an area where you do some research and you think there's going to be some growth. So it's an area in transition, an area where there's change, and jump into that area. And obviously, you've got to be able to afford it. Live in there. Do a live-in add value, a cosmetic reno or a structural reno, but do a live-in add value and then put it back on the market after a few years. That, having ridden a wave of growth on your own home and done the add value, when you sell it, you get to keep all of the price difference. And that really helps set you up with a lump sum amount of equity to go again. And it's often enough for you to then get into a slightly better place and to have change to allow you to then get into property investing independent of the place that you live in. Now, if you can't do that on the first version, you might want to do that on the second round. So you might want to do a buy, live in, reno, sell, and then another buy, live in, reno, sell.
What is inspiring about Kelly's philosophy is its moral obligation towards others, something that he holds in high esteem.
Another question that you might want to ask yourself is this a project that I have integrity with? Is this a project that I want to take on? It might be that you have the opportunity to buy a derelict boarding house that's going to produce some great dollars for you. But if you're against that sort of lifestyle for people to live in, that's not going to be integral to you. So I encourage you not to do that deal. You don't want to walk over little old ladies in order to make a buck. That's not the way to go about it. There is enough money in the world for you to enjoy with integrity and as a win-win right across the board. And I'd absolutely encourage you to do that.
Like everyone, Kelly has consolidated knowledge from a variety of sources and individuals to develop his expertise within the property market that he now shares with others.
It was Steve and Dave first up. Robert Kiyosaki was someone I thought was great for driving decision and mental perspective and a can-do attitude. So I adopted a lot of his philosophical approaches. Dr. Roos was someone who I had vague interest in, but I just was inspired by the guy being able to get with Robert Kiyosaki and the concept of joint ventures, etc. like that. Yeah, I had a number of them. From a Headspace perspective, there was Anthony Robbins, Alan Peace from Body Language, those sorts of things from being able to read people, understand people, thinking. So, yeah, there was a variety of people I, while I didn't necessarily know, I looked at as role models or sources of inspiration and how-to by way of thinking, by way of approaching.
From childhood, Kelly's aspirations were unlimited, a position supported heavily by his parents, but it took the experiences of life to consolidate this potential.
Bit of a story around that. Came from my parents. Brendan, you can do anything you want. Now that's a twin-edged sword. I was I was doing high school at the time, and life was life, and as a student, yeah, what do I do? How do I spend my time? And I hit my 15-year-old inquisitive phase about, well, you know, what's my role on this planet? I'm one of 6 billion. What's my role? How do I make a difference? Yeah, what's the point? And in that, I asked my parents, what's my place on the planet? And they said, you can do anything you want. I said, what should I be doing? And they said, you can do anything you want. And that didn't help me at all. As much as it was inspiring, encouraging, if I can do anything I want, how does that narrow the decision about making a difference? How does that narrow the decision about what is the right thing for me to be doing? So it didn't help. Anyway, years later, I was in a position after doing my multiple journeys through career and came up with, you know what, it'd be a good idea to get some feedback from people about where my skills and passions and desires best fit. So I went and went to a consultant and I got IQ tested and I got skill assessed and my IQ and my skills came back. And I sat down with them and said, so what should I be doing? And they looked me square in the eye and said, Brendan, you can do anything you want. I was, bloody hell, how is that helping me? That's not helping me narrow down my search at all. But that said, what it allowed me to do is I can solve, I had that equal, I had that mean for me. If I can do anything I want, then I can solve anything I want. I can solve problems. I can create solutions. And I started to adopt the, if I can do anything I want, then I will do anything. And I can do anything.
It's this positive sense of ambition that Kelly not only utilizes himself, but seeks to convey through the Results Mentoring Program.
So when people raise a question, can we do that? I say, we can do anything. Now we need to choose what we want to do. And it really opens the thinking up into, okay, on the premise that I can do anything and I get to choose what I want to do, you start to put on a different mindset of how and what can we create rather than, no, you can't. And as soon as you say, no, you can't, guess what? You can't. So, yeah, it's something I continue to live by. Then we have the Results Mentoring Program, which we run, and that's going great. We're like I said, we're changing lives, and more people are choosing to trust what we say. And at the back of the work they take on, they're actually able to leave work. They're actually able to live the life they want to live. So it works. It's proven. It's wonderful. It's just a joy to be a part of. On top of that, I've got I work with John Lindemann. John Lindemann is a gentleman who is a research analyst, and I work with John Lindemann in the development of the database for being able to forecast suburb price movement. So I'm working with John in the background on that.
On top of all this, Kelly still maintains an ever-expanding investment portfolio.
Currently, we have two boutique developments going on. So in Melbourne, Clifton Hill, we have, which is about 2 kilometres north of CBD, we have a boutique development of 3 retail outlets, 8 luxury apartments, 4 stories. It is about to turn soil. It was a $2.5 million block of land with about a $4.1 million build and about a $3 million profit. That's one of the deals we've got going on. The other one is in Ivanhoe. Again, boutique development, 6 retail outlets, another 18 apartments, 5 stories, $3.8 million block of land, about a $7 million build and about a $5 million profit. So that's what is in the background.
With such a consuming range of commitments and enterprises, it's no surprise that Kelly's key habit is a never-die attitude.
An unrelenting commitment to the outcome that I'm after in life. It is just a fait accompli. It is a foregone conclusion that I will achieve what I want. It's just a matter of timing. All I need to do is follow the path that I'm creating for myself and keep stepping up to the plate. And it's just there. It's just there.
If you liked hearing this podcast about Kelly's story, strategy and mindset and want to learn more from him,
The best way to connect with me would be through the Results Mentoring Program. So if you contact the office on 9890-5600 or Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-A-N, at resultsmentoring.com would probably be the best ways to get to me directly.
Thank you to Brendan Kelly, our guest today at Property Investory. In this episode, we went behind the scenes of his property investing story and discovered the inner workings of his buy, live in, add value and sell strategy. If you want to hear more about Kelly's story that led him from teaching maths and computer science into the property market, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Brendan Kelly and search that episode to learn more about his story. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.